everybody standing for prayer, and I've asked Mr. Steve Lewis to come and lead us in prayer.
This is a therapy job right here. Okay. Well, before I pray, I just want to thank everybody for your prayers and your thoughts, and most of all, I thank the Lord that he's blessed me, and it'll be 5 weeks tomorrow, and I don't know. You have to ask my wife if I'm a good patient. I'm probably not, but I'm getting too old for this, I know. But anyway, I just thank everybody, and this is walking in that door tonight upstairs here and seeing all you, and your smiles, and we are family, and I sure appreciate it, and I can't add much more to it, but the Lord is good. So let's just open in prayer here. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you for our safe travels tonight. We thank you for your mercy and your grace and all your blessings upon us. We thank you, Lord, for our health. And know that, Lord, that we take that for granted at times, and we try not to. It seems like we need maybe a setback to appreciate it. But at the same time, Lord, we know you're the great physician. And Lord, we just ask you to bless our service tonight. Bless each one of us as we sing praises to you and the testimonies, and be with our pastor tonight as he brings forth your word. And Lord, again, we just thank you for this church family. And we ask you to bless us and bless our service tonight. And we pray now in the name of Jesus. Amen.
And you may be seated. Well, we do want to welcome each one of you here tonight. It's so good to see you. Those of you that are here that can be seen, we thank you for coming out. And then again, those of you, if we have anybody that's live here, we welcome you. Those online or maybe watching later on or listening on the recording, thank you for joining with us in that way. For our announcements here, we're going to take a few moments for testimonies. If anybody would have anything to share by way of praise, answer to prayer, or testimony, prayer request, we will take some time for that in a few moments. For our announcements here, just a reminder, we have our annual meeting coming up in 2 weeks on January 31st. We have, again, our elders here. They serve for three-year terms, and two of those are coming up here at the same time. There's a couple years ago, we had a rotation where it was just one a year, but then it got kind of changed up. We had an elder who served a partial term, and then I think that kind of threw everything off. But it's all right. You know, we have two that go off at the same time. But that's Mr. Ron Margraf, Mr. Steve Lewis, and then we have a nominating committee that is appointed each year. It can be different people every year, usually includes the pastor, which it did this year. And so the nominating committee has nominated both Mr. Lewis and Mr. Margraf to additional terms. And so they have put forward those nominations. And the membership is also able to nominate people if they so desire. And they just need to submit those to the nominating committee. And so the congregation, the membership, votes on those nominations at the annual meeting, and that's how the elders are appointed by the congregation. And so that's an important thing in our church, to be able to choose those men. And I guess another reminder, that's where it's important to have a membership as well. And we do have a membership, and I know some are, some aren't, but if you would like to consider that prayerfully, I would encourage that. And if you would like more information, you can talk to one of the elders, and we can tell you what to do from there. But we need to have a good membership and a body of people that are believers. That's really the most important thing, that you have a testimony of salvation, faith in Jesus Christ. And so we're thankful for all of those that have a part in our church and our members as well. Today is Sanctity of Life Sunday. I think that's always the third Sunday in January. And kind of going along with that, the local crisis pregnancy organization in Morrow County, Heartbeat of Morrow County, they send us some promotional things every year. This year they've sent us these pens. And so feel free to take those. It just has the phone number and website address. Well, the address isn't on there, but it's over on Baker Street in Mount Gilead. And so feel free to take those. It is a Christian organization, and they try to help out women with alternatives to abortion by offering medical referrals and support services. So that's something that we would certainly support, the cause of life in our country. And the Bible teaches that. And so they're doing something that is a good work. So I just want to make sure you know about that. We are looking forward to this Christian Life Seminar that we're going to start on February the 3rd. And again, that's going to deal with Jim Berg's Quieting a Noisy Soul program. And that's a video program. And it's going to be offered as a 12-week seminar. We're going to kind of pack it into 12 weeks. That's our plan. And Wednesday nights beginning in February, first Wednesday night. And this is a program that provides a roadmap out of turmoil for the struggling believer. And this is something that will be a help, I think, to any believer. This is what some of the material looks like. And again, I'll just read the description there. Sounds of guilt, anxiety, anger, despair, and even entertainment can generate overwhelming noise in our souls. The quiet rest and joy promised by the Lord Jesus can seem elusive and almost impossible, yet His words still beckon to us. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. His call extends even to those experiencing panic attacks, obsessive thoughts, and compulsive behaviors, as well as those practicing more overtly destructive behaviors such as anorexia, bulimia, addiction, and self-mutilation. No problem of the soul is too complicated. No personal agony is too overwhelming for the Master. The Quieting the Noisy Soul program provides a roadmap out of this turmoil. At the same time, its biblical truths will bring added joy and peace to the soul of any believer seeking greater intimacy with the Lord Jesus. And Jim Berg is the one who's doing the teaching with this. He was the dean of students at Bob Jones University for many years, almost 30, I think. And now he teaches biblical counseling courses at Bob Jones University Seminary. And his emphasis is on keeping it simple. If you've ever heard Jim Berg, he's just that kind of teacher, keeping it simple. And at the same time, enables believers to get beyond the surface of Christian living and wade into the deeps to find the fullness of God's power and promises. So that's a little bit of the taste there of what that's like. Again, we have permission to offer this in the building, so we are going to be having an in-building meeting, and at the same time, we're going to try to offer it live streaming, and so you will need to sign up. Either way, we can't offer it publicly, but we can offer it directly to people that have registered for it. In other words, can't offer it on the internet publicly, but directly we can do that. So that's kind of how it will be. It is free to sign up, and there is an optional companion guide for purchase, $25 from the church, and we just need to know how many we need to order. So if you could sign up there. And so I think this would be appropriate for ages 7th grade and up. It does deal with some, what might be considered serious issues. But, this is from the perspective that even a young person that you'd want to have them hear these kind of things from. This is a biblical perspective and really would give some good guidance about a lot of these things. And so that's Just an overview of that. We do have 10 people that's registered for this so far, and so that's great, and we'd like to have a few more, so hope you'll consider going through that with us. Also wanted to mention that we are able to provide giving receipts if anybody would like one. This is the time of year when we're kind of thinking about last year and all the tax time, getting that documents ready. I'm sure you're thinking about that, or maybe you're just delaying it as long as possible. Like last year, they gave us till July, I think, to finish everything up because of the pandemic. But I don't know what they'll do this year. So, but those are available, and I think we're just doing that by request. So if you could see Mr. Lewis or give him a call or email or text or something and just let him know, yes, I would like one, and he can get one for you. All right. We had 13 people joining us this morning over the live stream at different points. So I guess we need to add that to our attendance for the morning service, right? Tack that on there. I don't think they were on there the whole time, but you know, you get people that come on and come off, and we don't know who they are. It's just, we can tell there are people on there. And was that you, Walker? Were you one of those? He was, okay. So he was there, even though he wasn't here. So, all right. But it's nice to be able to have that option for people. And if you're watching now, let us know who you are. And we want to hear from you. And better yet, come and visit us in person when you can. But we'd love to have you, and we hope that, you know, this will be an option for us for now, although I don't know how long it'll be before we get censored, you know, that's entirely possible, and we might have to find a different platform, a different way of doing it, or else we might be making a lot more DVDs and CDs. But I know there's a lot of that censorship going on, and but so far I think we haven't been censored yet, so we'll see how long we can go with it. All right, want to open it up for testimonies here, and just wonder if anybody would have anything you'd like to share here tonight. Any testimonies? Yes, Mrs. Wright.
I have a praise. I mentioned last Sunday that I've been praying for Michael Stephens, little boy, to come. And he came down this morning, and I think he really enjoyed himself. Yeah, so I promised him a horse ride. And he didn't mention much about it, but at the end of the class this evening, he said a little bit about it. But he said he also likes to ride tractors, too. So, but I mean, he had a good time, and I think he'll come now. So I thank you for that.
All right, so the Rays have lots of things you can ride over there. Tractors, horses, and so are you opening that up for everybody? If you come to Sunday school, you can get a ride over there at the farm. All right, anyone else tonight? Other testimonies, praises, prayer requests? We want to praise the Lord for our piano player today, Isaac. He played the piano for us this morning, and I appreciate that. Mr. Margraf, that's a prayer request there. Fell off a ladder in his garage yesterday, and he's got pretty banged up with that, so he is not able to be here today. And so Isaac was able to fill in for him at the last minute here, and he did a great job. So we're very thankful for that. Praise the Lord for Isaac playing the piano for us. All right, anyone else? Other testimonies? Anything you'd like to share? See that hand, yes.
My friend Terry and Mark Winters have had, both of them had COVID. They're starting to feel like they're going to live again now.
All right, friends of Sue, Terry and Mark Winters, they had COVID, but they're feeling better now. So they have gotten through to the other side. So we praise the Lord for that. All right, yes, Scott.
I just want to praise the Lord. This past week, I was able to take another step forward with the company that I started, and it just amazes me. The Lord just never ceases to amaze me. I came to the conclusion very early on that there was no way I could do this thing on my own, and I've had people that have friends that have helped me, and Pastor Gosman, I remember him going door to door for me, and it just really is truly a church family, and I praise the Lord for that. And the astonishing thing to me is that Jeff and Kathy walked through the door, and telecommunications industry is pretty big. I mean, there's a lot of people, but everybody kind of knows each other, and it just was amazing. You know, again, I just keep asking the Lord to open a door, and I'll trust him to walk through it. And Jeff has been in the industry for many, many years, and what, 40 years. And for the Lord to place him here, him and Kathy here, it just astonishes me that, I mean, we're just a small little country church, and I never would have expected in my wildest dreams that somebody that understands what industry I'm in and what I'm trying to do with my new company just walks through the door. And I just praise the Lord for that. And Jeff's been able to help me yet walk through another door with my bank. And I would be nowhere without what the Lord has done for me.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you for sharing that. All right, anybody else? Anyone else here tonight? Other testimonies, praises, or prayer requests? All right, going once. Going twice. Anyone else? All right. Well, let's take our song sheet now, and we'll go to our next song. 256, It Is Well With My Soul. 256, It Is Well With My Soul. Let's stand as we sing.
Thank you.
I invite you to take your Bibles now and turn to Judges chapter 1. Judges chapter 1. Before we do that, I did want to read the report from the Zartmans in our bulletin, our missionaries to Mexico. And they gave a brief update here. Dear praying friends, our ministry in the year 2020, as almost everything else in our lives, was affected by COVID-19. In March, Monterey suffered its first partial shutdown in order to prevent the spread of the virus. This curtailed our door-to-door distribution of the Romans booklet. Churches were closed but reopened shortly thereafter with restrictions on who and how many people could attend. Children under 12 and adults over 65 were prohibited from attending, so the meetings were broadcast on the internet for those not allowed to come. More recently, the meetings have had to be conducted only through the internet. We rejoice that by these means everyone connects on Sundays. We are all hoping, however, to be able to return to physical presence in the services. The new year, despite the prospect of vaccinations, eventually leaves us for some weeks at least with continued shutdown. This is due to an increase in the numbers of people who have the virus and the filling of hospitals with patients. The authorities attribute this to clandestine gatherings over the holidays. New measures, for instance, have barred us from even the designated hours at our customary supermarket. However, the store across the highway allowed us in. Sundays are now supposed to be observed as Sundays years ago. Everything closed, even convenience stores. The authorities want everyone to stay home. We have mostly complied, but have invited people to come for a meal, an opportunity to fellowship. On December 8th, we had the family of Israel, the mechanic, here to celebrate his birthday. Israel is one of our original members of our church. From then on, we have had at least 8 meals with the church folks and have enjoyed them all. During 2020, I began putting the ministry into the hands of 3 elders. We take turns in preaching twice each month. They take charge of the prayer meetings and oversee all the ministry. I'm satisfied with their progress and their assuming the responsibilities. This year, we will continue to perfect this plan. Please pray for this and the need for a musician for directing, accompanying, and animating the congregational singing. Pray about this as we return to corporate worship. We thank you for your participation in this work. Remaining yours, the Zartmans. Last week we looked at an introduction of this book of the Judges, and we looked at four different questions, four different areas. We looked at the period of history Judges covers. It's a period of about 340 years. It's actually one-third of the total history that's recorded in Israel, in the Bible, history of Israel recorded in the Bible. So it's a very large section there that we're looking at. And then we looked at the position of a judge, which was a unique position. And it had a special place under the kind of government that Israel had at this period of time, which we saw was a theocracy, They didn't have a king yet. God was their king. We looked at some places where even the judges, like Gideon, they tried to make him a king. Gideon said, no, God is your king. I'm not going to rule over you. And so it wasn't a king type of position. It was a temporary sort of a emergency leader type of a position under the theocratic government that God had at this time. God raised up these temporary leaders to help his people in times of distress. Then we looked at the structure of the book of Judges. It begins with an introduction, which is what we're going to start looking at tonight. It shows the decline that took place. And then the main body of the book, which is roughly chapters 3 through 16, that showcases the careers of the various judges throughout this period of time. And that has many of the familiar stories, like Gideon and Samson, and of course there's some that are less familiar as well. But that's the bulk of the book of Judges. And then at the end, in chapter 17 through 21, we have the epilogue, which zooms in on some specific things that were going on during this period of time that highlights the religious chaos that was taking place at this time. And then there's a couple accounts of the moral chaos that was happening at this time. So tonight we're going to jump into the first chapter, and then we also looked at the point of Judges, which it's hard to narrow that down, but there's probably many points. But a big point has to do with the problem of apostasy. And we saw that this book will show us that oftentimes the spiritual condition of God's people, of a nation even, determines where they end up politically. Their spiritual condition deteriorated, and we'll see that. And that led to political problems and defeat by the enemy and slavery even. So we're going to pick it up here in chapter 1. And as we read this, we're going to find out that it sort of feels a lot like the book of Joshua, because what we're looking at tonight is the conquest continued. And that's really what Joshua was all about. It was all about the conquest of the land. But you remember that that was only a start. Joshua led the people to take over different parts of the land, and then he divided up the land, and the tribes went to their various portions, and they still had work to do. They still had to go in and clear out the enemy to take it over, and that's what happens as we pick it up here in chapter 1. Let's look at Judges 1, verse 1. Now after the death of Joshua, it came to pass that the children of Israel asked the Lord, saying, who shall go up for us against the Canaanites first to fight against them? And the Lord said, Judah shall go up. Behold, I have delivered the land into his hand. And Judah said unto Simeon his brother, come up with me into my lot, that we may fight against the Canaanites, and I likewise will go with thee into thy lot. So Simeon went with him. And Judah went up, and the Lord delivered the Canaanites and the Perizzites into their hand, and slew of them in Bezek 10,000 men. And they found Adonai Bezek in Bezek, and they fought against him, and they slew the Canaanites and the Perizzites. But Adonai Bezek fled, and they pursued after him, and caught him, and cut off his thumbs and his great toes. And Adonai Bezek said, 70 kings have, having their thumbs and great toes cut off, gathered their meat under my table. As I have done, so God hath requited me. And they brought him to Jerusalem, and there he died. Now the children of Judah had fought against Jerusalem and had taken it and smitten it with the edge of the sword and set the city on fire. And afterward the children of Judah went down to fight against the Canaanites that dwelt in the mountain and in the south and in the valley. One of my Christmas presents this year was I got a new drill, a new it's actually a lithium ion, it's a DeWalt drill, and I had one that wasn't a lithium ion drill, the battery is what I'm talking about, and I've had it for several years, and it was getting to the point where it just the battery was not working anymore, the batteries I had for it, and it was getting old, and I for a while I've really wanted one of the lithium ion ones. They're just, you know, super fast, a lot of power there. And so I got one for Christmas. And I'm very thankful for it. It's from my in-laws, actually. They're very nice to me and gave that to me. And so that was nice. So the point of that is kind of reminds me of sort of a battery that's charged up here. You've got the Israelites, and they're kind of like that battery on that cordless drill, and they've got a good charge on them. And we're going to see that as we go through. They're continuing the conquest. They've got the power charged up, and they're going. But what we're going to find out is that there's something that drains that power. And we're going to find out by the end of these verses here, hope to cover through verse 21, that there gets to be a problem, and the power seems to be gone. And they need their spiritual battery, we'll find out, charged or changed in some way. But as we look at this continued conquest, we notice here in verses 1 through 8, something good. Notice the way that they prepare for continued conquest. Notice the preparation for continued conquest. In verse 1, we see they do that by looking to God for direction. It says in verse 1, the children of Israel asked the Lord, saying, who shall go up for us against the Canaanites? Joshua had died here. And remember, we saw that there was no successor to Joshua. And that was really by design. God didn't intend for them to have that sort of position continually. He was going to be their king, and the people now, they're recognizing that, okay, we need to ask the Lord for direction. Joshua's not here anymore. The Lord is our leader. Lord, what do you want us to do? What should we do next? And so they look to God for direction here. It shows their willingness to obey and follow God's leadership. And God tells them here, Judah should go up. You know, Judah was the largest tribe. Probably the most powerful tribe. And so God wants them to go first and take the leadership there and show what needs to be done. And we notice that they do this and they seek some help. We see the teamwork that they have. They say unto Simeon, verse 3, Judah said unto Simeon, his brother, come up with me into my lot that we might fight against the Canaanites. Now, if you remember back some of those maps that I gave you in when we were looking at Joshua, Who remembers where Simeon was located, their inheritance, part of the land? That's right, it was right inside of Judah. It was right inside of Judah. And so it'd be natural that Judah comes to Simeon and says, you help us out with this. We're going to help you out, and you help us out, and let's do it. And so we see that teamwork. That's good. That's good. They work together to do what they're supposed to do, to obey. So we see the preparation for this continued conquest. And then secondly, in verses 9 through 18, we see their success in continued conquest. Notice the success that they have. We're told here about their initial success at this town of Bezek. And we're told about the deliverance that the Lord gave them there at Bezek and the Canaanites that they are able to conquer. And we're told about this king here in verse 5, Adonai Bezek. And they found him, and what do they do to him? Well, they cut off his thumbs and his toes. And you say, why would they do a thing like that? Well, you know, imagine what it'd be like if someone cut off your thumbs. All right, so I'm going to do a little trick here. All right. All right, there, I cut off my thumbs. That's trick photography there. Okay, and so what can you do now? Well, you can't grab anything. You can't grab your sword. All right, how am I going to fight with my sword? I don't have any thumbs anymore. And or if you don't have your big toes on your feet, you're not going to be able to run. And so pretty much you're just incapacitated, can't do anything. Might be able to type on a keyboard, but they didn't have keyboards, probably like that. And, you know, no space bar if you didn't have your thumbs. But anyway, so they do this to Adonai Bezek, and the king of this town of Bezek. We find out, though, that Adonai Bezek was getting what he deserved. Why? He even admits it. He had done the same thing to 70 kings. He had treated them in a similar way, and they had gone around and gathered their meat under his table, he says. Verse 7, as I have done, so God hath requited me. And they brought him to Jerusalem there, and he died. We have to remember the situation that the Canaanites were in. These were people who had sinned against the Lord and were at a point where they deserved the judgment of God. Let me remind you what God had said about the Canaanites in Leviticus chapter 18, verse 24. He said, defile not ye yourselves in any of these things, for in all these the nations are defiled, which I cast out before you, and the land is defiled. Therefore I do visit the iniquity thereof upon it, and the land itself vomiteth out her inhabitants. You shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, and shall not commit any of these abominations, neither any of your own nation, nor any stranger that sojourneth among you. For all these abominations have the men of the land done, which were before you, and the land is defiled, that the land spew you not out also when ye defile it, as it spewed out the nations which were before you. These were not humble, innocent people. These were people that deserved God's judgment. God had given them many, many years, and their iniquity was full at this point, as God had said to Abraham. And so we see some of that taking place here. We see the success that they have in their continued conquest, and it happens as a result of God's justice. You know, sometimes in this life, God makes his justice and his righteousness very obvious. I think this was a case where it happened. This man himself even recognized the justice of God, that he was getting it. He knew it. And it's also a very powerful reminder to us that the important positions and people of this world can change very quickly. The important people of this world can be humbled. Here is a man of great power in his day. He had had many, many victories over people around him, conquered many kings. People probably would have thought he was unstoppable. But the Lord humbled him. God brought him down. And that's a reminder that the Lord can still do that today. And he does do that. And he will do that. He's been doing that for a long time. The justice of God, we see that has a role in the success that they have. And then notice the success that came through people overcoming difficulties by faith. And I'll just point out some examples here. Told here about the victory around Hebron, verse 10. And Judah went out against the Canaanites and dwelt in Hebron. Now the name of Hebron before was Kirjath Arba. And they slew Sheshai and Ahiman and Talmai. And from thence he went against the inhabitants of Debir. And the name of Debir before was Kirjath Sefer. And Caleb said, he that smiteth Kirjath Sefer and taketh it to him will I give Aksa, my daughter, to wife. and Othniel, the son of Kenaz. Caleb's younger brother took it, and he gave him Achsah, his daughter, to wife. And it came to pass when she came to him that she moved him to ask of her father a field, and she lighted from off her ass, and Caleb said unto her, "What wilt thou?" And she said unto him, "Give me a blessing, for thou hast given me the southland, give me also springs of water." And Caleb gave her the upper springs and the neither springs. Here we have people that overcame difficulties by faith. Caleb is mentioned again. We've seen him before. Caleb had overcome difficulty at Kirjath Arba, later called Hebron. Kirjath Arba means city of Arba. One of the greatest of the Anakites, the Anakim, the giants. And remember, Caleb came and he actually requested this area. Joshua chapter 14 tells us about that. And he didn't do it because he felt that he really could accomplish it in his own power. He did it because he believed God. And he said, "Give me this mountain." And that area was an area of giants. There were giants there. And then there's this other area that Caleb has a role in, the city of Debir. And Caleb makes this into a good test for a future son-in-law. He says, "Whoever is able to conquer this city, I'm going to give my daughter to." And we saw this in Joshua before, but you might wonder about the whether that's a wise idea or not. But at this period of time, it was. It was actually a test of faith. Would there be a man who had enough faith in God to go forward and step up to taking this battle on and conquering this city and kicking these Canaanites out and conquering them? And sure enough, there was a man. His name was Othniel. And Othniel stood up. He had the faith to believe that God could give him that. And Caleb also gave Othniel his daughter to wife. And sure enough, Othniel is going to reappear in chapter 3. Othniel becomes the first judge that we're going to see. And we have kind of a foreshadowing here of his faith. And we're told about Achsah, this daughter. She requests these springs here. This is also significant, I think, in the book of Judges. You have several women that show up in the book of Judges, and they turn out to be women of faith who rise to the occasion in this book. And Achsah is the very first woman. She requests this spring of water. And you say, well, what's the big deal about that? Well, it seems to kind of all go along with the idea that she believed that God had given them the land and they had the right to it. And she's requesting this on faith. It wasn't just that these people were taking a shot in the dark and just kind of see what happens. No, they knew that the Lord had promised them the land. The Lord said, "Here it is, I'm giving it to you. You have to go and take it." But the people had to show their faith by obeying God and going out and taking their inheritance. So we see the faith of people overcoming difficulties. It wasn't easy. We see the success in this continued conquest through God's justice being meted out here. But then we come to the final verses we'll look at here in verses 19 through 21. And what we have here are some clouds on the horizon of continued conquest, some clouds on the horizon. Maybe you've been in a place, I'm thinking of maybe more out west where there's less trees and things, you can see farther. And you can see out there, way out in the distance, there's some clouds out there. And you can see way out there, there's a storm coming. And you wonder, how long is it going to be till that storm comes and till we get rain over here? And maybe you're driving down the highway, you can see way off into the distance and you see those gray clouds. And that's what we see here. Even in the midst of this a successful time after Joshua's died, they had some power still. But now we see these clouds. Look at verse 19. "And the Lord was with Judah, and he drave out the inhabitants of the mountain, But he could not drive out the inhabitants of the valley because they had chariots of iron. Why would chariots of iron be a problem? Why would chariots of iron be a problem? Don't you remember the Red Sea? Did they remember what God did at the Red Sea? Remember all those chariots that the Egyptians had? God put all that water right over top of them. Why are chariots of iron such a problem? We go back to the book of Joshua. There were times when they were concerned about chariots and some of the battles that they fought. The Canaanites had these chariots. The Israelites didn't have chariots. They didn't have any battle vehicles. And these were like the tanks of the day. And yes, they were concerned about it, but God gave them victory, even over Canaanite armies that had chariots. Didn't they remember that? Why would iron chariots be a problem? We're going to find out the reason for that failure. It's not really explained until we get to chapter 2. But we're going to find out that it had to do with compromise and idolatry. It had to do with the spiritual failure that was happening at this point. But what we have here in verse 19 is what that looks like from another perspective. The failure of these people, this cloud on the horizon here, at this point in time, what it looks like is these people have iron chariots, and that's why we couldn't defeat them. There's a human side to this. There's a human side to this problem, and it looks like the other side is just too powerful. And we can't defeat people that have iron chariots. I'm sure they would have given that as an explanation. The reason is we don't have the equipment. We don't have the vehicles that our people need. That's why we can't do it. But there was another side. And then we have another cloud here, verses 20 and 21. Notice what it says. And they gave Hebron unto Caleb, as Moses said, and he expelled thence the three sons of Anak. And the children of Benjamin did not drive out the Jebusites that inhabited Jerusalem, but the Jebusites dwell with the children of Benjamin in Jerusalem unto this day. Here we have another cloud, and I might just call it a cloud that victory became less common. One cloud was that the iron chariots became a problem, and then another cloud you see here is that victory became less and less common. On the one hand, we're told about Caleb. We're reminded about Caleb and the fact that he was given Hebron, and he expelled the three sons of Anak, these giants. But then the very next verse is about Benjamin. Verse 21, the children of Benjamin did not drive out the Jebusites that inhabited Jerusalem. So you have Caleb on the one hand. What do we know about Caleb? Caleb is a man of faith. Caleb does things because he believes God. He believed the promise that God had given. But then what was going on here with some of the other people of Israel was this failure, that victory was becoming less and less common. I think those two things put together highlight probably something else that was going on, and that was an issue with their faith. Here's a man who does believe God, and he's victorious, and here's some other people, the children of Benjamin, who are not victorious. What does that tell us? Well, perhaps they don't have the faith that Caleb has. There's an issue with their hearts and their faith in the Lord. Then as we go ahead through the rest of chapter 1 and into chapter 2, we're going to see this pattern continue. Failure becomes more common than victory. They started off well. They had their battery charged. But then things began to drain. And there was a clear need for something to help them and to give them that victory. And we'll see the reason for that. And that all leads up to the need for deliverance. It's going to show us the need for God to step in again. And what he's going to do is going to raise up a judge. And that judge is going to become a key part of God's plan to bring his people back into a place of spiritual victory, which for them also meant political victory and success in what God had given them to do. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we pray that you give us the faith of people like Caleb, these people that believed your promises, even though things around them look very difficult. We pray that we would have true faith, genuine, strong, sincere faith. And Lord, we pray that you would give us refreshment spiritually and help us to have the strength and the power that we need to live our lives for you and to continue to obey you. And we ask for the grace that we need. We thank you for your word and for how it teaches us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take our song sheet now and we'll close with our last song here, which is Have Thine Own Way, Lord. Have Thine Own Way. Number 388. And let's all stand as we sing. 388. God bless you. Have a good night. We're dismissed.